It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mets are going to play at 4:40, so no TV for us today. We'll keep you posted throughout the afternoon as they look to win the rubber game against the Marlins, the Yankees tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. More on tonight's game later, but one very quick thought about last night's Yankee loss, and I want to make everybody feel better. Hopefully this helps, because whenever you blow a lead in the eighth inning, that's not fun. I know it's the first loss of the season, but it's not fun to blow a game the way they blew the game, right? You didn't like that last night, Teague.
No, I hated that.
Sean, you didn't like that last night.
No, not at all. It was a gut punch.
Gut punch. I totally get it.
I had a good tweet in queue ready to go. Thank God I didn't send it out too early.
You had a tweet in queue?
I'll use it now because it doesn't matter. I was ready. I had fired up. It was
lighter something?
No, yeah. It was the Yankees found a good way of never telling us what the lost song is going to be at home.
Ah, yes. Unfortunately, they did lose, so we found out the song.
Yeah, within hours.
Frank Sinatra.
That's Life.
Evan. Is that going to be the consistent one, or do you think that's just...
Right. It's a good song.
It's a very good song.
To walk away from when you lose.
It's fitting. Really is. It's still Sinatra. But remember in spring training, that was the song that went viral, but the Yankees claim they have a list of different songs they're going to rotate.
Are they going to rotate Frank's songs, or are they going to rotate, like, tons of songs?
Hopefully we don't have to find out too much.
I was going to say, you hope to not get the answer. But here's the good news about last night's Yankee loss. So Devin Williams is on paternity list, and we wish him all the best, him and his wife, expecting a newborn. So best of luck to Devin. So he's not there, and was not available. So the bullpen got greatly affected where we saw Tim Hill, and then we saw Mark Leiter.
Mm-hmm.
If Devin Williams was there, Luke Weaver is pitching that eighth inning.
Right.
And Luke Weaver is probably not giving up a grand slam to Eugenio Suarez. So the Yankee loss last night was really the ramifications of being a tad bit shorthanded. Does that make you feel better?
Or just... Or Devin Williams having a baby, or his wife.
Well, that's what I mean. Right, but what I'm saying is, the reason that he was in the game, Mark Leiter, in that kind of spot, was because Devin wasn't available, and Boone didn't want to go to Luke Weaver in the eighth inning, which, by the way, I actually disagree with, not to get into the weeds on managing. I think that you should use your best reliever in the most important part of a game.
I agree.
At that point. Again. Yeah, you did, Aaron.
Right.
I wasn't going to make a big deal of it, but the truth is, A. Boone, what the hell are you doing?
I think he was trying to be a player's manager in that spot.
What do you mean?
Luke Weaver did nothing in October but earn the closer's role. Then they go out and they acquire Devin Williams. And I think at any turn where Devin Williams is either unavailable due to rest or in a circumstance like this.
Right, they put him in the closer role.
I think
right.
It's just his way of, we'll throw you a save. Go get the save. And I think he overthought trying to be a player's manager for a stat over what made sense for the team.
Yeah, so that's not what I would do. I would do, hey, Corbin Carroll is coming up, or Ketel Marte is coming up. The Diamondbacks have guys on base in a close game. I'm going to go to my best reliever, and I'll use someone else in the ninth inning. Not that I'm overextending Luke Weaver, just I'm going to use my best pitcher here.
Right.
I'll get out of the jam, and then I'll figure out the ninth inning. So I just have a philosophical difference with Aaron Boone.
I should stick you in a locker, geek.
What?
Hey.
What? How dare you?
Coming back right at you.
Also, Howard was ready for those second guesses.
Also, after Cruz struck out four different guys with the splitter, maybe don't go back to your splitter guy and Mark Leiter. I mean, how many splitters did the Diamondbacks need to see last night?
Yeah, that's true.
Look at you. You're really getting in the weeds on that.
Hell yeah.
You didn't like going to a reliever that has a similar pitch repertoire as a reliever who was in earlier.
Evan, you guys are dumb.
Baseball guys, Evan. Baseball guys.
You guys are. But at the end of the day, not a big deal. It's only one loss. The Mets, on the other hand, can't score runs.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this, because I was thinking about this late last night.
Back to needing a bat.
They don't need a bat. They need to wake up. I mean, that would be nice.
Wake up the vets.
I want you guys, and I don't know if this is a Lou Gehrig debate series, so I'm not saying it's a fight between you two. What's a worse way to lose, okay? A limp offense in which you do nothing against garbage bullpenners. Because remember, Sandy pitched five, and then it was the Marlin bullpen.
It's that.
Well, I haven't even finished yet.
I know, but whatever it is, it's that.
Okay. Tiki's already voted.
I've already voted.
Is it worse to get shut down by garbage relievers you never heard of and just be frustrated? Or is it worse to give up a grand slam when you're a strike away from getting through the eighth inning and blowing a game late?
Mm.
What is a worse way to lose? Tiki's already said it's the Met way.
I've already said it's the Met way because I think the Yankee is way what happened they lost last night. It's not going to happen frequently.
You think the Mets are going to be shut down by garbage pitching all the time?
I don't know. They got one hit on Saturday.
I understand.
They got one hit on Saturday.
You think the Mets are going to have a crappy offense?
I don't think they're going to have a crappy offense. I think right now it sucks that they were supposed to have a good offense, and you're not getting it every game.
Yeah, it's been frustrating.
I know. It's only five games. But it's frustrating.
I know, but to me it's not even about the long-term ramifications. It's more, how would you rather spend your Tuesday night?
But I can't help but think about what could potentially happen in the future and what probably is not going to happen again in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
I think the Met issue
you're very philosophical.
Could linger.
I got you.
The Yankee one will not.
You're giving a philosophical answer. I'm giving a guttural answer. How about you? No, not you first, Sean. I want to hear Tommy. I want to hear positive Tommy spins this.
You want positive Tommy to spin this, or you just want to hear from Lou?
I want Tommy Lou Gower to tell me what's a worse way to lose.
It's more frustrating to go out quietly into the night.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather hit a couple of homers and have a guy go, you know, hit a granny on me, and I could say, hey, the manager, maybe, and we can get into the bullpen stuff.
Bad when you pitch, got lucky.
Yeah, going quietly tonight is also boring.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm surprised.
Which I had to explain to my wife last night. She's like, man, baseball's boring. I go, well, when the Mets score more runs, it's less boring, but I hear you. This is boring right now.
Now, Sean, as a true diehard Yankee fan, you experienced the gut punch last night.
It sucked, but the Met loss is worse, because at least if I was at the stadium last night where I wasn't, I walk out of the stadium going, damn, that sucked, but damn, Will Warren, all right, you pitched a good game, damn, all right, finally, Jason Dominguez came alive tonight, hit that big home run. I at least walked out of Yankee Stadium feeling good about a couple things I was severely questioning after the first weekend of the series.
But as a Met fan, I could also point to the positives of the bullpen being great.
Well, it was Max Kranich.
No. But Chris, I'm saying,
and it was the Marlins.
No. But Max is also continuing on the bullpen's done all year.
Yeah, he's been great every outing. Yeah,
outings, great. Yes. But when you said
the bullpen this season has been great. Yeah, and Max, fan, by the way, one of us, has added to it.
But you guys are looking at it, all of you, as the big picture of things. The big picture is last night was one loss we're all going to forget about.
Of course.
I agree with you. I think the Yankees are fine, the Mets are fine.
So which one in the short term was the worst one?
I think the Yankee one. I completely disagree with you.
No, doesn't it just come across as what's boring and what's not? The Yankee game wasn't boring, the Met game was. So if I'm going to lose, I don't want to be bored.
If you want to frame it that way, that's totally fair. What would frustrate me more, and what does frustrate me more, and maybe today we'll get the exact opposite reactions, is when a game is in your hands, when you have a game won. And the Yankees essentially had the game won. So for me, and this isn't trolling, this is the way I honestly feel, I'd have a tougher time going to sleep at night when I had a game won.
Really?
Versus, yeah. As frustrating as the Met game was.
Versus being even at three after three innings
and
waiting for another run and it never comes?
No, it sucked. They both sucked. I'm saying blowing a game to me is worse than just having that limp offense. Yeah. That's the way I usually feel about it.
I guess.
You're giving me a look like you don't respect me anymore.
No, I was just trying
That's not even a, I disagree with you. It's like, you know what, Evan? I don't even respect you anymore.
I just wonder what happened to your, like, your energy about this team.
My energy? My energy hasn't changed about this team. Yeah, which team? The Mets or the Yankees?
Two runs in the third inning, right? You gave up two and a four.
I watched the game, bro. I know.
I understand this. And you waited. So, fourth inning? Fifth inning.
Yeah, I understand.
Sixth inning. Seventh inning.
It's hot.
Eighth inning. Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Ninth inning, all zeros. And that's you're okay with that?
I never said I was okay with it. I'm saying blowing a game is worse to me. Is
yeah,
a worse
you
loss.
You knew it was happening for an hour and 20 minutes.
Well, I didn't know it was happening when they had 2-1 in the ninth inning. I thought maybe they'd come back. I didn't know they were going to lose the game.
And what happened?
They didn't. Okay, Vientos flied out and Winker grounded
so
out.
So
okay?
You had this long draw and then a letdown. The Yankees had excitement, excitement, excitement. Oh, major letdown in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
I don't. You had to have been bored and then pissed off.
Well, I'm not
Whereas
bored.
The Yankee fan was excited and then pissed off.
I just.
So which is worse? I think bored and then pissed off is worse.
Well, I was not bored. That was you being bored or you guys being bored. And two, I just
Tommy was bored and he's a Met fan.
That's Tommy's opinion. I respect it. I'm just giving you my opinion. Why? You weren't disgusted by me.
I don't understand how you're okay with six innings
I'm
of nothingness.
I'm not okay with it. I'm just saying that blowing a game is worse. Since you're mad at me, we'll go to the guy on hold who wants to talk about how I never shut up. Scott in East Hanover, take over. Tell me how much I'm a schmuck I am. Go ahead.
Tiki, my neighbor, how are you, my brother?
What's up, brother?
Listen, you know in the car, when you get in your car, you have two controls. Your wife could put her heat on one side, how high she wants you.
Yes.
Yes. FAN should have a button just for you, Tiki, where I could hear you and not listen to that guy. I mean, I don't know how he even breathes. He doesn't. There's never a time where
Scott,
he takes a breath,
Scott,
Evan.
You know
I mean, I know you love sports. I know you love sports, but yes. Dude, just Don't be Sal Licata. Just come back a little bit.
No.
Hey, Scott, here's the problem.
Fall asleep like Mike. It's a Mike.
No, but Scott, hold on. I want you to rip me. Don't rip Sal.
All right? Sal Licata.
This is about ripping me. Don't bring him into this.
I'm just saying. I'm listening.
Carlos Mendoza? Scott was having your back because they were going off on you for 20 minutes at the end of their show.
He wasn't having my back.
Yes, he definitely was.
He just said, I want a mute button for you.
Scott, the problem is with that temperature control thing in your car, eventually when your wife puts it on so high, you feel it, even though it's on her side of the car.
That's true.
That happens. That's fact.
That is true. Scott's not wrong, by the way. I do just contain like a diarrhea in the mouth sometimes. It's a very, very fair critique. Let's go to Ben in Stamford, Connecticut. What's up, Ben?
What up, Ben?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Good.
Curious Giants fan here. It's always hope springs eternal during the draft time for that 5 years or whatever. Chicky, a couple of questions. First is, I follow some draft guys. I don't get too deep a dive into it. I've got four kids who I have to deal with. But
right.
I've seen people say that Travis Hunter is both the best cornerback and also the best receiver. Do you buy into that? Because if that's true, we have to get him.
Well, I think he's a star no matter what side of the ball you end up putting him on. I think he's probably not the best cornerback. I think Will Johnson from Michigan might rate higher than him. But this is kind of like Ohtani.
Mm.
Right, Ohtani's he's really good, top end at both of what he does. Maybe less so as a pitcher, just because he's just not available. But the fact that he can do both and it gives you this optionality makes him one of the most unique and special players in the draft. Is he the best wide receiver? I think statistically, probably yes. And if you go back and watch some of his games, which I didn't see in real time, but I've just because of the draft that's coming up, you go back and watch him. He makes some stupid catches. Like things that don't make sense. Right. Falling down, away from the ball. As long as his hands are close to it, he snags it. So I think he will be one of the best rookie receivers this year. And so it just doesn't make sense not to use him that way. So he's probably the best wide receiver and the second best cornerback, I would say.
Damn it. If that is true, and I trust you on this, then it's very difficult to not select him.
He's just going to be a star.
Yeah.
And so how often do you get a chance to draft a guy who is, and it seems like he's a good dude, going to make a profound impact no matter where you use him?
I think the question, though, is can he do both? Like, here's the thing about Ohtani, and it's a different sport, so I'm only bringing it up because that's always the comparison.
Right.
I hate to say this, but it's kind of true. Shohei Ohtani really doesn't do both. Like, we make a big deal about it. We go crazy about it. But he's not a full pitcher and full hitter at the same time.
No.
Like, he was a full hitter last year. He didn't pitch. When you look at his pitching, his fullest season of pitching was a 28-start year in 2022. That's the only year in which he was a full pitcher. And so
It's kind of like Travis Hunter then.
But that's the only time he did it. Can Travis Hunter do both?
He's going to end up being, or Travis Hunter, I should say, because Ohtani's doing this. Travis Hunter's going to end up being like Shohei Ohtani, where he's full time at one.
Right.
And then, he'll throw 18 games this season, right? Whatever the equivalent is for wide receiver or cornerback, whichever one he does.
That's what I think you have to go in expecting.
Yes.
Because the idea, because even with Ohtani, he's had 1 year in his career in which you can truly say he was full time at both. And I'm not demeaning him. It's still pretty historic. It's amazing.
Right.
But the idea that he's making 30 starts a year plus getting 600 plate appearances, that's not true. He hasn't done that.
No.
So I think with Hunter, logically, eyes wide open, if you draft him, you have to assume that he's going to do one of those things full time, and the other thing is going to be more of a part-time basis. Yeah. And is that worthy?
And the question would become, which one do you want to see more of?
And your answer is wide receiver, right?
Yes.
And what's your answer, Sean?
I still want to see more of him at corner. I fight actually with myself about this all the time.
How come?
Because obviously Travis Hunter is a special talent on two sides of the ball. And I'm with you, Tiki, watching as much Colorado and doing the gambling on the games. He's unbelievable wide receiver. And I watch that and go, the Giants don't have enough talented guys. He's that blue chippy, not enough of that in this draft.
And teams need it.
Teams need it.
Like the Bengals, two great wide receivers.
Right. Okay.
Miami, they had two really good wide receivers.
I agree. Philadelphia,
the Eagles,
right now.
Two good wide receivers. Like you need two.
But here's my problem. on a team that still lacks a franchise quarterback and on a team that, let's face it, when you're trying to build within the trenches, still has major questions on both sides. Is it smart in back-to-back years to use your top 10 draft pick on a guy that is primarily going to be a wide receiver on a team that both lacks a quarterback and winning in the trenches?
Well, they've spent a lot. I think what they did in free agency is telling you that they're thinking offense in the draft.
Right? True, true. Because they built the defense up.
They built the defense up. They brought some depth on the defensive line. They brought, obviously, safety and a corner in.
They've made very little significant moves on offense. You mentioned little something Humphrey.
Little Jordan Humphrey. Little Jordan Humphrey. But, right.
I love that name, by the way.
Who's not little at all. But he hasn't been a player yet.
By the way, I think that name is so utterly brilliant. So it's L-I-L apostrophe Jordan. Mm-hmm. Little Jordan Humphrey.
Yes.
I think that is one
and
of
he's like 6'5".
Right, he's big. Well, you don't know that when you're naming a child.
No,
like,
of course not.
But
look at little Jordan. Oh, that's so cute. Look, he's such a dog. Wait, hold on. Crap, you're 6'5".
If I wasn't, me and my wife weren't done, I would think about a little something. Like a little Jet, a little Spence.
Little Ev.
Little Ev.
Little Ev Roberts.
I think that's such a brilliant name.
I love it, too. I love it.
Has anyone asked him or his parents like the origin of it? Was it simply it's just cute, like Lil?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
You know what? When we're at training camp, let's try to talk to him.
Yeah. I request him just to ask that question, just to find out.
The problem is with Lil Ev Roberts, people would be like, he's black?
Is that a really? Lil is a black thing versus a white thing?
No, Lil. It's like Lil, L-I-L.
Oh, by the way, and this is completely unrelated.
Again, I had a grandma, Lil.
This is completely unrelated.
Really?
Yeah.
But L-I-L?
But it was just L-I-L, man.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, Grandma Lil. Well, but she wasn't Lil something
else. It's short for Lily.
Her real name?
Yeah, it's short for Lily.
She was always Grandma
Elizabeth?
Lil.
No, it's
her
short.
Her name was Elizabeth.
It's short for Elizabeth or Lily.
This is his birth certificate name, bro.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want the answer, I have it from the internet, but I have it whenever you need
it. Go ahead. No, give me the answer.
So Lil Jordan Humphrey's name came about as a compromise between his older brother's desire to name him Michael after Michael Jordan, his favorite player, and his mother's preference for a different name. So it resulted in Lil Jordan.
That's awesome.
Wow.
So now we have Chicago Bulls fans on our football team, too.
Are they from
I think they're from Texas.
No, it doesn't mean they're Bull fans. It means that Michael Jordan is above the Bulls.
No, it's true.
Like, there are people who grew up just loving Michael Jordan. Some of them remain Bull fans.
Especially the older brother.
Oh, no doubt. That's a really cool way that they came up
with
it.
A
compromise between a brother and the mom. All right, so I got to tell you something I'm very offended by.
Yeah.
And this may be talked about on the air. But I'm going to get my first crack in. I ran into Boomer earlier today.
Okay.
And it was good to see him. I haven't seen him in a while. So we had a nice conversation. He looks at me. And he's like, are you dyeing your hair? Now, I hate that question. I find that very offensive. Am I dyeing my hair? Uh-huh. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Because it used to be red.
He's like, it used to be red. Mm-hmm. It's brown now. You're like a brunette. And I said, no, it's just with age, the color is changing.
You're right.
Then he looks at me and says, is that even real? I'm like, excuse me?
Your hair?
So
he thought you had a wig?
He thought I had a wig. He grabs the top of my head, which I had no problem with because I wanted to prove that I wasn't wearing a wig. And by the way, even if I did have a problem with it, he's a lot bigger than me. Nothing I was going
to
do.
It was happening whether you wanted to or not.
So he grabs the top of my head, says, oh, okay, it's real. I'm like, gee golly, thanks.
What?
But accused me of dyeing my hair. I am not dyeing my hair. I am proud of being a ginger. So even though I am no longer really, truly a ginger in terms of hair color, I wear it as a badge of honor, and I'm proud of it.
Your beard was reddish.
That is true. Yeah.
The beard came in red last year.
You know what else is red?
I don't want to know.
Come on. All right.
I can't not see a toupee on his head now.
Does it look like
it? It doesn't look like a man unit, no.
No, I don't know. Look, I know you don't, but I'm just saying from here, now that he said it and I'm looking and I'm picturing
that means you need a haircut.
I can see it now. Also, the
means you need a haircut.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't know what bothers me more, the toupee thing or the I'm not a real ginger and I'm dyeing my hair thing. By the way, my hair color is changing. Like, that's a reality.
Right.
But saying that I'm dyeing my hair implies that I'm not proud of being a redhead or a ginger.
Dude.
And I am.
You're lucky, Evan. Consider it a blessing that he's telling you this, because at least it's not going white. It's going red to brown.
That's true.
And not white.
Not like my beard. Yeah.
That is a positive. All right. We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. We'll preview that game, plus more intel on what the Browns and even the Giants are going to do at the top of the draft. But yesterday, the Mets faced Sandy Alcantara.
As I've said on the air here, I've said it on the Rico, I've made a bold prediction, if you will, that the Mets are going to get Sandy Alcantara before the trade deadline. I believe that will happen. The Marlins have already shown they don't care about trading inside the division. They did it with Jesus Luzardo. And plus, like, my reasoning behind it, again, Evan Roberts' brain is reporting, which has not always done the best for me. But the reason why I believe that strongly is that he signed for multiple years. And David Stearns doesn't want to give out long-term contracts to guys in their 30s. Well, if you trade for Alcantara, you have him this year, next year, and the year after. If you trade for Dylan Cease, he's a free agent at the end of the year. So I believe that the Mets will go all out to try to trade for Sandy Alcantara. And I'll say it again here on April 2nd. The Mets will end up with Sandy Alcantara. I really believe that. This is the trade that David's been waiting to make. I believe he'll make it.
Okay.
Thank you. Just putting that out there for the 15th time. I've said it a lot. I apologize. I'm not going to harp on it the way that Arenado.
Right.
But just I'm letting you know again in case you forgot.
Okay. Unless somebody else comes and snoops.
They could. I just don't think they will.
Okay.
Honestly, I think this is the perfect deal for the Mets. So Mike Puma, who's a fine reporter, Puma did nothing wrong here, starts asking Met players about Sandy Alcantara since, A, he agrees with me, the Mets are probably going to trade for him.
And they just played against
him. And they faced him yesterday. Listen to these open comments and tell me how this is not like, I don't know, dirty. Here's what Juan Soto said about trading for Sandy Alcantara. It would be one of the best trades that we could have. I know we have great pitching here, but adding a Cy Young winner like that would be huge. It's going to take a lot to get him. Francisco Lindor, it would be almost like adding Juan Soto. You add Soto, it's going to help the team. You add Alcantara, and it's going to help the team. Starling Marte, part-time player, by the way. He has the stuff and the mental makeup to be able to play in New York. He's got the mental strength and physical gifts to be able to have success here, and I think we have shown that we help pitchers even more. How is this okay? Like, how is it okay? And I have another issue with it. But just on
That's
the level,
man.
How is it okay to openly be talking about a player on another team?
I feel like in the NFL, there are tampering rules, and you never hear players talking about other players on other teams. Like, oh, I want him to come here. And if it is, it's kind of just on social media, like them, I don't know, reaching out, hey, that's my boy, come play with me type of thing.
Right.
But you never really see it in media. And I know it's explicit in the NFL because you just can't. You hear coaches like talking their ways out of like plastic bags or paper bags trying not to talk about other teams. But in baseball, there is tampering rules, correct?
Apparently not to the players because I don't think anyone's going to get in trouble. And even if there aren't rules, there does seem something unethical about it. There's something dirty about it.
Or it's just the nature of the game. Because it happens. Like, everybody knows this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily to the Mets, but everybody knows that at some point Miami is moving off of Sandy Alcantara.
That is the belief in the industry,
so,
yes.
Yeah, so, it's just an accepted thing in the industry, so why not make it an open conversation?
Right.
So, I think it's just a culture of baseball thing.
There was...
It wouldn't fly in the NFL.
Well, here's what else is weird about it. Even if the players are allowed to talk about it, okay? The 25 guys in your room or 26 guys in your room are still your teammates. And I understand we got Manaea bad news yesterday. Aren't you, as Juan Soto or whatever Met is talking about this, in essence, begging your team publicly to take a job from a guy that you're staring at in the locker room?
No,
because I think those other guys, I think in most sports, you kind of know where you what you're supposed to be doing.
Like, okay.
You know what you're.
Yeah, I don't have an issue. I don't have an issue with that because I think that you're just saying he's a great player, and it's the Mets' decision. It's David Stern's decision on who would be the odd man out. But there was something else Juan Soto said that actually did rub me slightly the wrong way. And I'm going to preface this by saying Juan Soto did not lie. Juan Soto told the truth. And sometimes the truth is just, I don't know if you should say it. Talking about Sandy Alcantara, if he goes to a team that has a chance to compete at the end, I think you're going to see who he is. He's doing that on a team that has no serious chance to go to the playoffs, but he keeps trying and competing even without run support. Whenever he goes to a winning team, you're going to see what Sandy Alcantara is capable of. My issue is, yes, we all agree the Marlins aren't any good. They're not trying to win. They're in your freaking division.
Bulletin board material.
They just beat you, by the way. Like, I don't know if we should be openly talking about how they have no chance to win when you've got to play 11 more games against them.
Yeah, and, you know, technically they're sitting atop the division right now.
Technically they are, yeah. They're right. that isn't even my worry.
I know
that they're not going to be good. It's just such a weird thing to say. Like, who says that?
That just tells you the state of baseball.
I agree.
Even the players know.
Yeah.
Dude, your team stinks.
I don't think anyone would say that in the NFL.
No chance. Because you don't know what could happen.
Right.
You could be the worst. You could start the season. What did the Lions do that one year? They started the season 1-6?
When they rallied and knocked the Packers out? Like
1-8 or whatever it was. And they ended up winning 8 games in a row. Whatever the heck the season was. But like in football, you can turn it. Something could happen. Whether your quarterback gets hot or you I don't know, you find some diamond in the rough that you didn't think was going to be
1-6.
Yeah, 1-6, and then they almost made the playoffs. I think they just missed the playoffs that season. And so football, you just can't say you stink and you're gonna stink all season long.
Right.
Baseball, you kind of know it.
But you know what? You really don't, because baseball is a sport where miracles happen.
Okay, but when was the last projected bottom seed division, team win the division?
Honestly, go back to last year. I don't think the Brewers were expected to be any good. They won the National League Central.
Yeah, but
the Marlins a few years ago made the playoffs. They weren't supposed to be good.
But that's the Central.
Well, okay. I know the East is good, and it's not about winning the division. It's about being a playoff team. The Marlins were a playoff team a couple of years ago.
Royals last year, too.
Yeah, I think the Royals are coming off a 100-loss season. I think people thought they'd be better, but I don't know if they picked them necessarily to make the playoffs. I think it's common in baseball. Mm. And again, I'm not worried about the Miami Marlins. It's more saying that 5 games into a season, it's like sort of disrespectful.
No, sort of. It absolutely is disrespectful.
With all of that said, I do think at the end of the day, when we're sitting here in late July, I think Sandy Alcantara is going to be a Met because I think David Stearns has waited for that moment. This is the reason I believe it. It's the reason I made it a big prediction a couple weeks ago, is because sometimes things just make sense.
Yeah.
And I don't believe the Mets ever want to trade for a guy who that they then have to give $200 million to, which would be the case with Dylan Cease. Mm-hmm. Sandy Alcantara is signed for the next 3 years in the prime of his career. And we'll see about Sean Manaea's health.
But that would be 2 years post-trade, correct?
Yeah, it's this year and 2 more years.
Right.
And I think that's perfect. That's kind of the contract Stearns wants to give out. Mm-hmm. That's what they signed Sean Manaea to, 3-year deal. So I think it's so perfect in their whole timeline and their philosophy around pitchers. And the reason why the Marlins are in a hurry to trade him, obviously they could keep him. They could try to win for the next 2 years, but they also know that there's no way they're going to re-sign him at the end of that contract in 2.5 years.
Right.
So you may as well try to get the maximum value, and the maximum value is right now, especially if he pitches well. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Evan is calling from Randolph. How are you, Evan?
Hey, I just wanted to ask about the Yankee game last night, and, because I have these moments where I say to myself, like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm smarter than Aaron Boone.
Go ahead.
And so I just don't understand why, Weaver's only pitched one game this season so far. Why can't he go out there for a 4-out save? Why was Weaver never brought, up to start throwing in the pen? Yeah.
So I agree with the idea, and I mentioned this earlier if you're just tuning in, that I believe that you should use your best reliever in the most important part of a game. And sometimes that's not the ninth inning. Sometimes it's the eighth inning. Sometimes it's the seventh inning. Last night in the Yankee game, the most important inning, especially with guys on base, was that eighth inning. And so without Devin Williams, they were kind of penciling in Luke Weaver as the closer. Well, I look at a closer as the best reliever that I'm going to use in the highest leverage of spot. So I agree with you. I would have used him last night. I wouldn't have even gone to Mark Ladder. I would have gone to Luke Weaver in the eighth inning with 2 on and 1 out. Boone didn't.
Right. He was saying after he struck out Naylor.
Yeah.
And why not bring him in then?
You could have done that then. Right. I would have done it even earlier. I don't know if Boone wants to extend him this early in the season, but my argument against that is I'm not even with Evan where I need a 4-out save. I'm just looking at him to get the most important outs, and then I'll worry about the ninth inning later.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example on why I think managers need to do this. So let's say he goes to Luke Weaver and he puts the fire out. And he throws a bunch of pitches, but he puts the fire out and it's a one-run game. What happens if in the bottom of the eighth inning the Yankees score 5 runs?
Right.
Then you take Luke out.
Yeah.
If it's still a one-run game, you got a decision. Do you keep him in? Do you extend him? He may not be available the next 2 days. Or do you take him out and take the risk that Mark Leiter can get the save? Tough decision, but at least put yourself in a spot where you get to make that decision.
Right.
Drives me nuts about managers. So the game isn't on Aaron Boone, obviously. It's just a philosophical thing.
Philosophical.
Philosophical thing, yeah. That's all. That's all it is. Me and Boone are still good, even though he threatened to throw me in a locker earlier on the show today. I still like the guy. Let's go to Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Gabe?
What up, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So, look, I'm a rational Yankee fan, not like these doomsday fans, you know, these crazies, right? Mm-hmm. And in that spirit, I can say after the fourth game of the year, season's over. All right? The season is over.
Stop
all right?
it. Stop it, Gabe.
And guys, look, I'm half kidding here, right? But how about the themes that we see that have plagued the Boone Yankees, right? So, like, one, bullpen management. The caller brought it up before. You guys were talking about it earlier. Boone loves analytics but misses the fact that Leiter sucks in the eighth inning or with runners on base or in pinstripes. Take any of those three and, you know, it says that he's not good in that situation, right?
Yeah.
So then number two, you got the offense, right? You said that the offense was exciting, all that kind of stuff. Besides three solo home runs, they went limp. Where are the torpedo bats? Torpedo bats were 1-for-20 with 10 strikeouts and one home run. Where's the contact mentality? I get that they faced the ace. I get that the Diamondbacks
got to the ace.
Guys in the pen.
They did a good job against the ace. They couldn't hit the bullpen.
They got to him.
That was the problem.
So how are they not winning that game and taking smarter at bats? Jazz Chisholm striking out four times, looking for the moon. Like, I mean, come on. What's gonna be the trigger that changes the mentality
Gabe,
of this team?
Gabe, I love you.
It's early in the season.
You were talking about a game in which, yes, 2, 3, and 4 did nothing. Judge and Chisholm were 0 for 8 with 6 strikeouts.
1 through 5 didn't have a hit.
Yeah, 1 through 5 didn't have a hit. By the way, do you know what they call 0 for 8 with 6 strikeouts? There's actually a term now. 0 for 8 with 6 strikeouts is a term now.
It's a...
Nope. You're not going to get it. Maybe Sean will get it.
It's a Met?
No, it's called a Devers. Yes. A Devers. Yeah. When you have a lot of at-bats and you strike out in 75% of them...
He didn't even hear me.
What did you say?
I heard you either.
Hey, what'd you say?
I said, they call it a Met.
Oh, a Met.
Oh, damn it. Good job, Teak.
Oh, jeez. It's not that we're striking out all the time.
I know, I'm just joking.
Teaky felt like me at Cinco yesterday.
Listen, Crickets? You're not, Crickets? As much as it would have been fun to see the Yankees put up 15 runs against the Diamondbacks, they're not going to score a million runs a game. And the truth is, they scored 5 runs yesterday.
Yeah.
5 runs should be enough.
Yeah.
They lost yesterday's game because their bullpen blew the game.
Now, the 5th run was a solo homer in the 9th, but still
doesn't
counts.
Matter. It was a 7-4 game. But those don't count in the 9th inning? You're trying to come back?
I can't even say that.
I don't want to minimize that. That's not fair.
You're right. And when Rice hit the homer, there was part of me. I got the edge of seat. Ooh, comeback time.
Yeah, look, the bullpen blew the game. That's what it came down to. Your bullpen gives up 5 runs in a game. You're probably going to lose. You got a decent start out of Will Warren. I thought you should be happy with what you got out of him. 5 innings. He walked a bunch of guys, was able to fight through it.
And Blake feels like he found something with Cruz. And also, we got to remember this, on top of Devin Williams, the Yankees have reinforcements coming for this. You don't have Jake Cousins right now out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Ian Hamilton. These guys are going to be here.
The funniest part about last night's game, and we take responsibility for this, because we want to get you ready for the night in sports. Part of our job, right? I want you to be prepared. We never mentioned the very small piece of news that the Yankees brought back Adam Ottavino and instantly activated him. Which means there were a good portion of people sitting down, watching the Yankee game, chilling, having a good time, having a drink.
No idea.
Who see him come in and are like, what the hell is this?
Right.
Not only that, Yankee Twitter last night, when they first showed him warming up in the bullpen, I couldn't believe it. Everybody went, wait a minute, that wasn't an April Fool's joke?
Right. They thought it was a joke.
Yes.
Is this a pandemic year all over again? What the hell happened?
All of a sudden, Adam Ottavino is not just on the Yankee roster, but he's been activated. Mm-hmm. That did kind of feel like it came out of nowhere. But it's one game. You guys have one loss this season.
He wasn't the problem.
No, he wasn't. The game was already blown by then. In fact, you know the Yankees are on pace to win 130 games? Does that make you feel better?
No, look, they could be the best team in baseball history. We know that.
They're on pace. Now, the best team in baseball history, and Tiki's loving every second of this, is the LA Dodgers.
That's right.
They are the first defending...
The real evil empire.
Well, they are evil. They are the first defending champion to start the following season 7-0 since the 1933 New York Yankees. By the way, that Yankee team did not win, okay? That was a Washington Senators American League pennant year, just so you know. But what I've decided with the Dodgers, besides when they play my team, I want them to break the all-time wins record.
Why?
I want the Dodgers.
You want them to be overconfident going into the postseason so that it, should the Mets make it again to the whatever round that they meet them, they beat them.
It's not even
overconfidence.
I don't think it's overconfidence.
Knocking
more than
the
it
king
is.
Off the hill.
Yeah,
making you feel better about your Metsies.
Well, I'll feel better if they beat them, no matter how many wins they have. But I love the idea of them entering baseball history, kind of like the 0-1 Mariners, where they win a ton of games and then they flame out in October. And I do think it adds pressure to them. So I don't think it's overconfidence, but
especially coming off a World Series season.
Yeah. So I want to see the Yankees. I want to see the Dodgers win 125 games. Like, I think that would be tremendous. And then, whether it's my team, I know you think that, or it's the Phillies, or it's the Padres, or the Giants, whatever team you come up with, watching them get defeated in the DS or CS, which they will, by the way, will be that much more gratifying.
Also, imagine starting a year 7-0 and only having a half-game lead in your division. Because the Padres haven't lost yet.
No, you're right. Padres keep winning, which is unbelievable. We'll come back with more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Last night, I don't know if you picked up on it, T, because I know you were watching both games, and you're a big fantasy baseball owner now, so you're scouting the league. And I talked about this a little bit on my Rico Bronya last night, but Mark Vientos had an incident. There was a ground ball to third base that was bobbled by the third baseman, and Vientos shut it down at the very end of the play. And even though Paulie, the third baseman, bobbled it, he threw Vientos out by like a half a step because Vientos stopped running. And it was a bad look. It was just a very, very bad look. Well, Mark Vientos was just asked before this afternoon's game about that incident, and I think my fellow Met fans will feel better about the Mark Vientos situation based on his answer and a few other things he added.
I won't let that happen again, for sure.
Did anybody address it with you? Or?
Yeah, I mean, after the game, Lindor and Antoine and Mendy, kind of say, hey, don't let that happen again.
So, A, I won't let that happen again.
That was hard to hear, but he said that won't happen again.
And then B, Lindor, the manager, and Anton Richardson on the coaching staff all identified it, which I appreciate because I think sometimes, I know you felt this way, Sean, last year with the Yankees, sometimes, like, Gleyber Torres wouldn't run it out.
He just got away with it.
And he would get away with it.
Yes. Nobody held him accountable.
Right. And by the way, he may have been held accountable. We didn't know about it.
Correct.
Mark Vientos addressed it, told us what happened, held himself accountable, and then mentioned by name the people who did it.
Right.
And so I think that clarity is going to make us as Met fans feel like, okay.
Yeah, for the Yankees, Boone would never call anybody out.
And to add to that, remember, he only got held accountable, Asher Gleyber, after Stroman openly called him out in Toronto, and then he was benched after Stroman called him out.
Right.
So it almost felt like it came to a boiling point. This is the first week of the season, and you're hearing Lindor's involved. I think this is great news for the Mets.
No, absolutely.
But this is why Lindor is their captain.
He's the captain.
Now, the example is Nimmo. I know we talked about this, the Nimmo-Lindor thing, but Nimmo, I mean, he walks and he runs to first base.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there are plenty of ways to get Mark Vientos right on this. And I don't think it'll happen again. Like, it's not like it was as embarrassing, it was bad, and it would cost them the game type of thing. But it's just something that we notice because it's early in the season, and the expectation for him is huge.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing that bothers me is when you have a struggling offense, and through five games, the Mets haven't hit in four of the games, so small sample size, but they're a struggling offense, you need to take advantage of every opportunity, every miscue. The Miami Marlins took advantage of miscues last night. Right. They didn't take advantage of the first Lindor error, but they did the second. That's how those two runs were unearned when Paulie hit that double. Like, the Marlins deserve credit. They took advantage of a miscue. That inning could have been the Mets taking advantage of a miscue, but because Mark Vientos wasn't running, they weren't able to be in any position for it. So I'm glad it was addressed. I'm glad Vientos said it'll never happen again. We'll hold you to it, Mark, just so you know we're watching. And it's good to hear that Met leadership took care of it. So that's a little bit of a positive. Now, let's get to Dave Sims, and then we'll get to your calls. A lot of football to get to. It's a very busy day. So when we played Dave Sims' calls on Friday after opening day, we noticed the hey now. He had been doing that in Seattle as well. And my first reaction as a Stern fan was, is he honoring Howard Stern? Is he honoring who Howard Stern was honoring? Because as I mentioned on last Friday, he was honoring Hank Kingsley, Larry Sanders, Gary Shandling. The Larry Sanders Show, Hank Kingsley was a character, the sidekick to Gary Shandling, Larry Sanders, who would say, hey now. So first, before we hear Dave's answer, of course Howard brought it up. It was brought to Howard's attention. Here's Howard Stern finding out about Dave Sims using hey now.
How long's he been saying hey now, Jason?
Hey, no. So he before he came to the Yankees, he was doing the Seattle Mariners, and I've read and heard from people that he was doing hey now out there too.
If he could add Howard Stern's penis, we would enjoy that too. Howard Stern's penis. Well, I say hey now. He says hey now.
Hey now.
But whatever. We love hey now so much, and so we welcome Dave Sims to the Yankees because anybody who says hey now has got to be a great guy, right?
Well, let's hope. I think it's great to keep Gary Shandling's memory alive.
I think Howard had a great idea. Can you imagine if after Yankees home runs, Dave Sims just says,
Howard Stern's penis?
He wants to see my penis.
Like, that's Howard's idea. That is not a bad idea.
Why did you say that? Like, what's the context?
Well, the context is that
most people would not know, especially young people. No, they'd be like, what in the hell are you even talking about?
No, I understand. It would just be so random. The pitch to Volpe. Hit in the air in a deep left field. It's gone. Hey now, Anthony Volpe. Howard Stern's penis.
He desperately wants to see my penis.
It's his fourth home run of the season. By the way, that is Howard talking about me. Yes. Desperately wanting to see it. Huh. The context is I went to the bathroom next to Howard Stern. Twice, by the way. This happened twice. Once while I was filming his movie as a child. But the referring story was not when I was a child.
As a child. You were a young adult.
No. I was a child. I was like 12. That's a child. And the second time, the one where I did peek over and see, was when I was working at Sirius before he got his private bathrooms.
Oh, you weren't peeping as a child.
No, I was not. I didn't see it as a child. I kind of made up that I did, but that's all BS. As an adult at Sirius, I glanced over. And then he thought I had an obsession with seeing it, which it was more just curiosity.
Torpedo bat?
Not too far off. Now, Dave Sims was on earlier today with BT and Sal, and while they weren't being ungrateful little bastards for me offering them Nick tickets, they did ask Dave Sims, hey, is Hey Now a tribute to Howard? Where did the Hey Now call come from? Here's Dave's answer.
I've watched Larry Sanders' show, and I've heard Howard say it, but I actually was familiar with it years ago, growing up, household with some music, American Standards, Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, etc. And Mr. Sinatra sang a song that was written by Harold Arlen and Ted Kohler back in the 1930s of the series up at the Cotton Club. And if you're familiar with the song, at the back end, it with rising crescendo, and it says, "Hey now, I'm in love." So. Wow. I don't know. We 10, 12 years ago, we were driving to a ballpark, and it sort of hit me. So you had a rotation on your phone, right? And it came. I said, I might want to try that in a game one day. And I did, and it worked. And I've used it in hoops. I've used it largely in basketball. And I really enjoyed the pop that Howard gave me.
That's cool. It's funny the minds of play-by-play announcers.
Yeah.
They're obviously working with a few over the years. It's like they all have a different approach and mentality.
Yeah.
And Dave Sims is listening to a song on his iPhone, and it pops up, and he's just like, hey, I should use that.
Yeah.
Like, how do you come up with these ideas or think that that's going to sound good in a broadcast?
Very random.
It is so random.
Very random. Well, here's what matters. Howard has given him his blessing. It doesn't come from Howard Stern, even though he knows Howard did it. And everybody's a big, happy family. And so later tonight, you will get to hear game two of the series against the Diamondbacks. And luckily for Dave, he's getting a lot of Hey Nows because the Yankees, even in a loss last night, are hitting a lot of home runs. How many are they up to now? 17 home runs? 16 home runs? Where are they at now, Sean?
I don't know. I think it's six.
No. They hit three last night. They had 15 going into it.
So that's 18. 18, yeah.
Wow. 18 home runs to start the season.
Right, because Rice put them over.
That's incredible. Yeah, Ben Rice is hitting the cover off the ball. Not only do they have the league-leading amount of home runs at 18, but there's a bunch of teams that have, like, two.
Yeah.
So, like, the Astros have two. In fact, here's my favorite stat. They have hit more home runs than eight teams have scored runs. In fact, one of those teams is the Mets. The Yankees have hit more home runs than the Mets have scored runs. Use that with your friends at a party tonight.
I love it. And three of them cold outdoor games.
What does that mean? Oh, because you don't think the ball would travel as far?
I mean, isn't that notorious at Yankee Stadium? The ball doesn't travel as much in the cold weather.
Yeah, but the right field fence is 300.
I mean, come on.
What's all that hole? Okay, Gary Cohen. I mean,
come on.
Not that the left field fence is much longer, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's not exactly like you're hitting it out of Yellowstone Park over there.
That's true.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.